Going to be in the book of Acts tonight, Acts 15 and verse 1. One of the great differences between denominations today and actually between religions today, as the majority of denominations want you to think and have it in their head that your salvation is helped out by what you do. We refer to it as works salvation. The fact that some people have it in their head, and it's a natural tendency. It's natural for man to think that you have to help God out. John Wesley said the most hated verse in all of Scripture is Ephesians 2:8 and 9, where Paul said, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves." Gift of God is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And I understand what he meant when he said that. Religionists don't like that. They think that it's something that we have to have a part in it. Man wants to have a part in his salvation other than just reaching out by faith and accepting what Jesus Christ did for them. And that's a tough one to get over. My mama was saved in a Pentecostal church, teach salvation right. You're saved by grace, trusting Christ. But then some of those denominations teach that you got to live it to keep it. John Wesley's two favorite chapters were Ephesians. It teaches you that you're saved by grace. And Galatians, it teaches you that you're kept by grace. So it's a hurdle that sometimes is very difficult to get over, to get beyond. But I remember my mama saying when it finally dawned on her that she wasn't going to lose what God gave to her, said it set her free. And that's what Paul told the Galatians, said, "Having begun in the Spirit, are you now justified by the flesh?" He said, "Why are you putting this yoke of bondage on your folks?" Said, "Your fathers couldn't keep that law. Why are you putting it on your folks?" So if you can ever get it in your head, it will absolutely set you free. You won't worry about it. You know it's in God's hands and God's grace. Acts 15:1, it said, "And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said," here it is, "except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved." Remember, these Jews just learned about the saving, wonderful, marvelous grace of Jesus Christ, and here they come in trying to get them back to Judaism. Well, you can trust Christ and you can do all that, but you got to be circumcised too, and you got to keep the law too, because that's what they'd been taught. And I guess I understand that. It says, "Except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved." And when therefore Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputation with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain other of them should go up to Jerusalem and to the apostles and elders about this question. They said, "Well, we need to get this thing straightened out." You know, they're trying to get everybody back under the law again. And you got to watch that. Even in Bible-believing churches, we have a tendency, we want to put people under the law. I preach that, the Bible sets examples. God set an example before the law. Let's look at the Sabbath. We'll just take the Sabbath. The Jewish Sabbath, it was given to the Jew. But God set a good example before the law that a man ought to rest on that seventh day. Need to take a break. That's an example that God set. God told Moses, let's look at the tithe. God told Moses, a tenth. Bring a tenth of the first fruits, he'd tell those folks. Bring a tenth. That's a good example. Now, we have a tendency to want to put folks back under that law. You can't do it. It's good to do. It's a good example. But when you get down to the nitty-gritty, you got to watch trying to put folks back under the law. Now, my daddy didn't get saved till he was 60 years old, but he had sense enough to know that it is a good time to rest on Sunday. He wouldn't work on Sunday. He worked hard every other day. He wouldn't work on Sunday. I remember we'd have a lot of times picnic, just lunch meat, to a country boy, a couple pounds of bologna on a picnic table with a jar of mayonnaise and a big onion and some lettuce and some Pepsi. You were all set. Man, you were all set. That was a weekend luxury for us to have something like that. I remember they'd go to the store on Saturday. I'd be watching the Lone Ranger. Hop along, left fire horse with the speed of light, a cloud of dust, and a hearty, high old silver. Yes, I watched it. The Lone Ranger, who with his faithful winning companion, Tonto. My, yes, I remember all those things. Anybody remember Highway Patrol? Dum, 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 dum. Whenever the laws of any state are broken, a duly organized body of men swings into action. It may be the state police, the militia, the rangers, or the highway patrol. These are the stories of men whose power, skills, and abilities have preserved and protected and enforced our state laws. Nobody remembers that. All you young folks don't remember that. Dan Matthews was a guy's name. Ted remembers it. Dan Matthews. Yes, Jeremiah. Ranger, no, that is way, I was an old man before Ranger Bill ever come on the scene. But God set examples for us. You know, you need to chill out once in a while. You need to relax. We talked about that in the message about time. Get out apart alone. Don't think you got to work every day of the week. Take a break. Take a rest. But God set that example. He gave the example of the tithe. Said, God loveth a cheerful giver. Said, let every man give out of such things as he has. You know, a lot of churches do faith promise missions, and it works good. It's good for the mission. It works good. I just don't like the wording of it. Faith promise, they call it. Faith promise. I don't make promises to God, because as soon as I make a promise to God, something's going to happen where my flesh can't carry out what I promised God I was going to do. I like the principle, and we could do it. I would just call it purpose in your heart. We would change the name a little bit to match Scripture. The Lord says, every man giveth as he purposeth in his heart. God, I mean to do this. My purpose in my heart is to do this for you. Now, by your grace, I'm going to do this. It says, give of such things as you have, and I don't know what I'm going to have next month. I don't know what I'm going to have 2 months from now. I'm getting off message. Doing pretty good, though. I don't know what I'm going to have next year, so I can't promise you I'm going to give you some. This fella, $50 3 months from now, because I might be laid up in a hospital bed. I don't know that, but I'll purpose in my heart. That's what my intent is to do this. See, there's a little difference, subtle difference that I've gotten. You'll get into some of those subtle differences as you go along. But you can't put folks under the law, because we're not under the law. Christ became the end of the law for righteousness. We do not get our righteousness from the law, but there's examples all through Scripture that it's good to do those things, and as a church, we ought to do those things. I think a fellow ought to tithe, and God has proven that to me. The only times in my life I've had money problems when I refused to tithe. Well, I just can't afford to give. Well, then it didn't work out so good for me. When I started giving again, things started to, man, everything was taken care of. It's a principle you got to learn. God taught us to do it. But it says, every man as he purposeth in his heart. Not grudgingly. He don't want you to give it grudgingly. Well, I'm going to give it, God. I really don't want to. I really can't afford it, but here it is. It's not what he's, yeah, that's not a cheerful giver. So Paul and Barnabas said, we got to go check on this crowd now. They're teaching the wrong thing. They're trying to put everybody back under the law. And being brought on their way by the church, in verse 3, they passed through Phinehas and Samaria, declaring the conversion of the Gentiles. And they caused great joy unto all the brethren. Now, not only did God save the Jews, but now he opened the door to the Gentiles. For they'd heard that God had granted repentance also to the Gentiles. And when they were come to Jerusalem, they were received of the church and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed. Now, these were believers. Didn't say they were lost folks. Said, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said to them, men and brethren, you know that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe, and a God which knoweth the hearts bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us, and put no difference between us and them, the Jews and the Gentiles, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? Talking about the law, trying to put them back under the law, where you had to do this and you had to do that. He says, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. Wow. For as much as ye have, as we have heard, verse 24, I'm jumping down there, that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. I said, that is, we didn't tell you to do that. You've come up with that on your own. There's a lot of things that the Lord and the apostle didn't tell folks to do. It's a lot that the apostle Paul didn't tell the churches to do, and they're trying to do it. Because it seems right. Well, it seems to me a man ought to be able to. Man, there's an old bluegrasser, and I dearly love this man. Loved his singing, listened to him all my life. And we were at an IBMA, a Pioneers reunion, and for some reason, me and my brothers got included in that. And he was with Flat and Scruggs, and he'd found God, loved the Lord, and he said, one thing I've found. I said, what's that? He said, you got to live it. You got to live it. No, you don't. You should live it. But God hath before ordained that a man ought to walk in it. Walk in good works. You ought to. You should. But it's the grace of God that keeps us. It's not by doing good, because you're never, never going to measure up to God's holiness by being good. Look at David, man after God's own heart. You look at some of the things David did. Moses killed a man. So you're never going to measure up. If you ever get the extent of God's grace and the extent of God's love, that he loved you when you were unlovable, when you weren't worth loving, where nobody could love you but God, and he loved you anyway, and you understand that he loves us good or bad, he loves us. And that's an attribute to God only, it seems like. Some of us learn it as we go along in our Christian life, but it's a hard lesson. It's a lesson learned with pain and tears, to learn to love somebody who's disappointed you and who constantly disappoints you and has betrayed your trust. And when I'm walking around doing my prayer walk last night down that gravel road, said, God, it's almost like sometimes I'm piling on. Anybody familiar with that term in football? You get a guy tackled, and then the rest of the team jump right on top of everybody else. The Lord, when he died for me, we don't have to pile it on by keep sinning and sinning and sinning and sinning, just to pile it on. We don't need to do that. We need to flee from sin and youthful lust and all that craziness. And thank God, God, keep me from sin. I know you saved me from hell, but I need you to save me from my sin. He came to save us from our sins, not just hell. I don't want to sin. I don't want to attempt God's mercy and his grace and add to that debt that he had to pay. Now, am I ever going to get good enough? No. But there are some things that are revealed to me that I can do something about, and I ought to do them. You ought to do them. Here we see in the early church, the apostle waged that battle with those who, despite the clear teaching of the grace of God, and it's clear, insisted that a man must keep the law to be saved. That's a battle going on today. Look at verse 5. These were believers, but there rose up this sect of Pharisees which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them, to command them to keep the law of Moses. And Paul said, we gave no such commandment. He said in verse 11, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. That's it. Romans 3:28, Paul told that crowd, and said, therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Wow. I'm justified by faith. I'm not justified by coming to church every Sunday, and I'm not justified by praying every Sunday. I'm justified by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. When I do right, when I come to church, when I do what God I know pleases God and God wants me to do, I'm doing that by faith. And when you're sitting in church, you're sitting in here with a heart attitude toward God by faith. Some of you may be thinking of something that went on today instead of thinking about what's going on in the house of God. Jeff told me about a message years ago. Jack Hiles preached on where God, what he told Moses or he told the disciples, go up on the mountain and said, and be there. When you're in church, you ought to be here. Need to be here. And you do that by faith. Everything's by faith. By grace, through faith. Thank you, Lord. Man, if that ever hits on you, the enormity of God's grace. Because we have minds and attitudes and lusts that are prone to wander. Fellow said, well, how about walking the walk and talking the talk? When it came to salvation, nope, we gave no such commandment. The fellow said, well, I still think you ought to live it. Well, what part of no such commandment do you not get? Galatians 5:4, you think you're saved by works? Paul said this, Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, you are fallen from grace. Wow, that's pretty tough. And see what it turns out, where that can lead you to. It can lead you to the point where you're trusting and depending on your works rather than God's grace. Well, on a message years ago, I used to use the illustration. Everybody shows up down to the Ohio River. They got to get across the river, and there's just one boat there for them to get across the river. And it don't matter if you're a doctor, lawyer, whether you're the Duke of Paducah or a prostitute or whatever you are, to get across the river, you got to be on the boat. It's the only way across the river. You remember the night the death angel came over Egypt and the children of Israel put the blood upon the doorpost? Said, when I see the blood, he said, when I check and see who's living there, I see who's been good, who's been naughty, and who's been nice. He didn't say that. He said, when I see the blood, that's when I'll pass over you. Amen. He didn't take a census to see how good everybody was in that house and who was reading their Bible faithfully and who was doing this faithfully and who's that faithfully. He said, when I see the blood. That's right. Wow. Thank you, God. Man, that's taken me off the hook many times. Paul said in Galatians 1:16, I conferred not with flesh and blood. Fellow said, well, if you ask me, nobody asks you. Here's what the book says. I conferred not, Galatians 1:6, I conferred not with flesh and blood. For Paul said in Galatians 1:10, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. Well, some Pharisee will say to Paul, well, where'd you get that at? Paul said in verse 12, said, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. He said, I got it from the Lord. I got it from right here. That's the manual. Not what some denomination teaches or what man tries to teach. The Bible says, cease from man whose breath is in his nostrils. Paul said in Galatians 2:21, said, I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. If you could live it, he just wouldn't have had to die. You could just live good, do good, keep the commandments, and go to heaven when you die. Oh, but along the way, what if you just told one little lie? Honey, tell him I'm not here. I'm not here. One little lie. Guilty. He's done lost it. Because Doug Rogers used that illustration, unplugged from God. That one little sin gets you unplugged from God. You've lost the power of God. You've lost it. If you're trusting in that, if that's what you believe in, that's what it takes. Now, if you were saved, legitimately saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, it don't matter whether you believe it or not, God's still going to carry you home. You may be taught wrong. You may be trusted in stuff that you shouldn't be. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. In other words, if I could live it in the flesh, Christ is dead in vain. He wouldn't have had to do it. He said in Galatians 3:1, O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? He said in verse 2, receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? No. He said, not only are you saved by grace, remember that? In Ephesians 2:8, it said, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Not only are you saved by grace, but then he goes on to say, he says in Colossians 2:6, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, how do you receive him? We just read it, by grace through faith. It says, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus, by grace through faith, so walk ye in him. You walk it the same way. Lord, I need grace today. Give me faith, Lord. I need faith. I say, well, how do I get faith? Pray, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Need to be in church. I didn't say you're going to lose it if you don't come. I said you need to be here. Man ought to be in church. Because that's God, where God does the administrating of his work is through the local church. He said you walk it the same way you got it. 2 Corinthians 13:4, for though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him. How? It says, by the power of God toward you. Peter said in 1 Peter, they had an inheritance, incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven. Said, reserved in heaven for you, watch it, who are kept, how? By the power of God unto salvation. That's pretty clear Bible. There's not a lot of ways to twist that, yet man wants to twist it. Man wants everybody to think that he's going to heaven because how good he is. Said we're kept by the power of God. We don't have the power to save nor the power to keep. Even Jonah. Jonah said salvation is of the Lord. Lord's got to do the saving. Can't save yourself. Well, I think you still ought to keep the law. Yeah, you ought to. But it's not a commandment. He said we gave no such commandment. Another one says, yeah, but you got to be baptized. Paul said we gave no such commandment. Some said, well, you got to keep the sacraments. We gave no such commandment. Well, you got to confess, repent, be baptized, and receive the Holy Ghost. Paul said, we didn't say all that. We gave no such commandment. The Lord said in Matthew 15:9, but in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Paul tells those religious Jews, he said, I don't care what your priest told you. I don't care what your church told you. I don't care what your mama told you. I don't care what your spiritual advisor told you. I don't care what the president told you or what CNN or any other news network told you. Said we gave no such commandment. The word of God says in Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saves us. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. It don't say by the works of righteousness. It says not. That's what it's not by. It's not by works of righteousness which we have done. It's by His amazing mercy. You didn't do anything to earn it. Christ earned it on your behalf. Isaiah 53:5, I read that this morning, but He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. My. That goes on and on. By the chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on Him the iniquity of us all. What a God. What a Savior. My, that ought to make a Baptist shout once in a while. Don't get it in your head that your goodness is going to get you to heaven. It's good to be good. That's one of the fruit of the Spirit. Fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. But I don't care if you sent food baskets to every poor family in 7 counties. It's not going to get you to heaven. My. I don't know when I put this. It's been a while I put this message out. I don't care if you've got a 50-year pin from the Shrine Club across the street or if you played Santa Claus at Walmart for the past 15 years. The moment you commit one little sin, you've got a problem. If you're trusting in works to get you to heaven. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. And according to Ezekiel 33:13, your righteous works will not be remembered, and for that one iniquity thou shalt perish. If you're trying to get to heaven outside of the grace of God. My. One sin, boy, that don't sound like much, does it? What about eating some fruit off a tree? That shouldn't be too bad, should it? I mean, God said don't eat of the tree, but I mean, it's not that big a deal. Shouldn't be that big a deal. I mean, it looks good. It looks good for fruit, and this guy over here told me that it'd make one wise. And in fact, Adam, he told me that if we ate of that fruit, said we're not going to really die. I said, oh, ye won't. He said, you won't surely die. He said, but we'll know good and evil. And he said, we'll be just like God if we eat that fruit. That isn't that big a deal. Watch out. Always remember that it's always God's grace. It's always His mercy. It's always the blood. And it's all of God. All you have to do is step out by faith. What must we do to work the works of God? Well, Jesus said this is the work of God. And notice the work is of God. That you believe. All you got to do is believe it. Some will try to stretch that. A hyper dispensation try to stretch. Well, don't that make believing a work? No. All you got to do is reach out by faith and believe. Somebody else did the work. You believe in His work, what He did. And there's a lot of good things being done out. People do a lot of good works, man. These rural communities are good people. In a relative manner, we speak, not in relation to God, but good neighbors, good people. You know who my heart goes out to is the volunteers. Volunteer firemen, volunteer rescue squad folks. Man, can you imagine that? I've been around those people all my life, all the years of police work, 2, 3 a.m. in the morning. That man, that pager would go off, and those folks would jump out of bed, even though they got to be at work at 7:45. They'll jump out of bed at 2:45 and go put out a fire and work until daylight and then go get dressed and go to work. Or go on a squad run. Those are my heroes. I love those people. That's good, but it don't get you to heaven. A lot of the lodges do wonderful works. They're good. Lions Club, they do all kinds of good stuff. They collect reading glasses can give them to kids. They do all kinds. The Shrine Club, huh? Man, the Shrine Burns Institute. I knew a preacher, Steve Kogel, told me one time they used to preach against the Masons until his son and the Shriners, until his son got burnt up in a fire and he had to rush him up there to that Shrine's hospital. It's just folks trying just because they're in error on a lot of things that they teach. but they're doing some good things, but it don't get them to heaven. You can be Lion of the Year, it won't get you to heaven. You can be a 33rd degree Mason. You can get the prettiest little hat to put on with a thing on it and get your picture taken in the finest suit, tuxedo you can find, won't get you to heaven. Good, is there anything, is it bad? No, they do good works, but good works don't get you to heaven. But those folks, man, those volunteers, man, that's doing good. You know what really works is when a man does good and he gives God the glory for it. That's, now there you've got something. I'm doing good, but it's not me. It's the Lord I serve. Glory be to God. Like some of those athletes. I heard somebody being interviewed today. It wasn't an athlete because I used to watch football. I don't watch football anymore. But I was looking at something and I heard it on the TV where it said, well, I think it was the National Hot Rod Association said there's a race on TV. I think I had that on TV when I was doing something. But I heard a lady say, glory to God. It's all God's glory. Thank God. Yay. She wasn't talking about how wonderful she was and how talented and gifted she was. She said, all the glory goes to God. I like that. God likes that. God likes that. How about Mother Teresa? Man, she did a lot of good. Will that get her to heaven? Not without Jesus Christ. I pray and trust she was saved. Hope she was. Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So the wages of sin is death. One sin and all his righteousnesses shall not be remembered, and for his iniquity that he hath committed, he shall die for it, unplugged from God. Matthew 7:22, many shall say unto me on that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. I said, but Lord, don't you remember I taught Sunday school? But Lord, I was baptized. I was just baptized when I was a little baby. I got baptized. But Lord, you know, man, Lord, didn't you hear me down there talking in tongues? And all those folks I healed, Lord. Galatians 2:16, knowing that man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ, even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. You know what justifies us? The faithfulness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Let me read that again. I'm in Galatians 2:16. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by the faith of Christ. Wow. His faithfulness. That we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. For by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. Pretty clear, isn't it? I'm not justified by anything I do. I'm justified by what he did. The fellow said, well, that's a fellow will say, well, isn't believing work? No, it's not. God will give a man light enough to believe. And God does that, so man is without excuse. Some of you folks, when I remember sitting in church and that Holy Spirit tugging on me, and I wouldn't go forward, and it tugged on me at home, and when I got by my bed at night, I began to pray and I began to sweat and knew that I had a sin problem. God revealed that to me. Holy Spirit conviction set in. That next Sunday morning when that altar call came out, that piano's playing just as I am without one plea. Man, the hair started raising on the back of my neck. Man, my eyes welled up in tears. And I don't even remember going out. I just remember hitting that altar. My sister, I found out later, was on the other side of the altar getting saved. We both got saved the same day, unaware of what the other one was doing. Wasn't me. Wasn't anything I did. I was a rascal. I was a low-life rascal. But God saved me. Reached out by grace. Let me close out here. About done. Mark 1:15, and saying, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. What they told the Jews, they rejected him. Not cut and dried like Calvin taught. You have a choice to either receive him or reject him. But it says in John 1, he came into his own, talking about the nation of Israel. Came to the Jews, came into his own received him not. But to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. I'm done, Jeff, if you'll come. My. Have you done that? If you've got it in your head, you've got to be good enough to get saved. You're going to always that's always going to be a stumbling block to you. That's where you need to understand Romans 5:8, where it says, but God commendeth his love. You can stand up. God commendeth his love toward us. That means it's in our direction. God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We were sinners. You come to him as a sinner. Not as some good person who's going to really make a difference for God. God came to you so he can make a difference in you. Ain't God good? The altar's open tonight. For whatever reason, won't you come?